This episode contains accounts of sexual assault, which may be disturbing to some listeners. On this episode of the Naturist Living Show, when it all goes wrong.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Welcome, dear listener, to episode 142 of the Naturist Living Show. My name is Stéphane Deschaines, and I'm your host for this podcast and the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And today we have a very serious story. But before we get into that, we do have a comment that we want to share with you.
Hi, Stéphane. This is Stephen from York Region, Ontario, not so far from Bear Oaks. In the fall of 2021, I went out for dinner with a new friend. Near the end, a brief discussion of nudism arised. Never talked about this before. Even felt socially awkward to bring it up, telling her she doesn't have to share. Amazingly, they had no shame to briefly talk about it. All I remember was one word, freeing. I thought about it for months, trying to understand what this meant for them. Along the same time, and for many years now, I was starting to come to terms with my own social anxieties, particularly around the opposite sex. That have held me back for what feels like nearly half of my life. 6 years of dance school may have also contributed to this atmosphere for me, even though this is an atmosphere of professionalism where all participants wear bodysuits for freedom of movement. I also felt for most of that time that I had no one to talk to either, alone, stuck in my own shell. It was only until late January of 2022 that I started to look into nudism and finally came across your website. Growing up and using Ontario's Highway 404, I've seen your signs before, and started to read through your website to find your podcast, and eventually easy access through Google Podcast Services. This began my journey, listening to one episode a morning, over breakfast, sometimes listening to a second one in the evening. Once I started to contemplate the idea of actually visiting your naturist park, the stress began to surface, even if I could talk to this friend who may certainly consider themselves a recreational nudist. I remember, only about a month ago, my first attempt to ask them about nudism and naturism. An overwhelming sense of shame or guilt was upon me, almost to the point that I felt I could break down into tears for even asking. They thought there was bad cell reception in our call, but I knew otherwise. That following Sunday, I made my first visit to Bear Oaks. What was surprising was how the nudity, as you say, is just a tool. It felt fine to me. My personal struggle is the respect and bodily acceptance aspect of ethical naturism, especially towards myself. This journey is a form of therapy for me. I managed, while anxious, to ask the same friend about joining me one time, and to my delight, they would be interested. In the span of 6 months, I have gone from feeling alone to becoming a member of your resort, a spiritual journey of healing for me. I was delighted to have a trusting friend be willing to join me and help me through this healing process. To me, it felt that knowing I can holistically accept the outside world coming into this space means I can strive to respect and accept all. From this experience, I think an interesting podcast topic would be about how to ask others to partake in naturism. As of this message, I'm around episode 105 of your podcast and look forward to catching up and maybe even hearing my comment in the future. Keep warm and keep safe, Stéphane.
Thank you for those very kind words. And thank you also to all of the people who are supporting us through Patreon.
Yes, thank you so very much to all of our dedicated Patreon supporters. And this episode is brought to you especially by Daniel M., Dennis J., Robert B., Carlo P., and Stephen. Thank you so very much to all of you for your continued support. It is so incredibly motivating and appreciated.
And now before we get started, I want to warn everybody again that this episode from now on contains accounts of sexual assault, and that could be disturbing to some people who are listening. So if you don't want to hear it, please press stop or pause right now. So a number of months ago, I was contacted by Rebecca, who had found my stories on the episode on where we are being exploited and where certain places call themselves nudist but do things that are totally not nudist. And she wanted to tell her story, and we chatted, and she wanted to tell everyone her story as a warning. So, I mean, I have to say, Rebecca, I have no reason to doubt her, but I have no way of confirming her stories. It would be probably impossible, since most of them have no witnesses, so it's one word against the other. But that doesn't mean it's not true. It absolutely could be. I'm just saying that I am taking it as face value to tell or let Rebecca tell her story in this case. So it's her experience, and in fact, sometimes her experience may be true to her and perceived very differently by others. But there's no question that she was quite affected and disturbed by her upbringing in a place that called themselves a nudist club. There was no evidence, and she doesn't even say that there is, that the club was complicit or knew it, ignored it. But it's clearly something that it's surprising to me that despite having that experience, as you'll hear, she's still quite supportive of the idea of naturism and how it could work, but it didn't work in the environment that she was raised in and with what she experienced. I should say that we've contacted the club that's mentioned in the story several times over the last few months through their website, and we've never received a response. So otherwise, I would have tried to include I would have interviewed them if they wanted to, or included their statement if they wanted to provide one. So let's listen to Rebecca's story.
I'm Rebecca Gwynn. I live in Waterford, Wisconsin, but I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois area, and I lived near the state line of Indiana, where the camp that we're going to talk about that I went to. I was at the camp from approximately 3 years old until about 14 years old that I attended the Ponderosa.
So which camp were you? Did you visit since you were born?
It was called the Ponderosa Sun Club in Roselawn, Indiana.
And what was it like for you? Was that a fun place to grow up?
Yes and no. When I first started going, I actually remember the first day, you know, I was like 3 years old, about somewhere in there. And I remember driving into the camp, and the first thing I remember seeing is a swimming pool. And I asked my mom, I said, but I didn't bring my bathing suit. And she said, well, you don't need one here. And I just remember looking out at the pool and seeing everybody without their clothes in the pool. And as a little kid, I thought, this is awesome. So I was just ready to rip my clothes off and get in the pool. I thought it was great. Like any kid would, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's almost natural for little kids, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, because even my two that weren't raised in any kind of a nudist camp, they loved running around the house naked. And my toddler, my son, he used to climb up on my windowsill in the picture window naked and stand in front of the window for the whole world to see. So, yeah, I think kids are just, you know, they don't have all those inhibitions and things to be ashamed of. It's just them being them, you know, and that's kind of where I was at when I first started that camp. I thought it was great.
But it didn't stay that way, you've told me, for a very long time. So much so that you reached out to me because you'd heard that I'd talked about the Ponderosa before and in somewhat critical terms, and I right. think that's something you agree with, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So how did it change for you?
I mean, I was pretty young, but I'm guessing, like, from what I remember, the first couple years, probably till, I'm guessing around five when I was in kindergarten, I think it was all good. It was all great, and it was a fantasy of just having a good time, and I don't really recall any major, like, problems or where I got uncomfortable. But then I was around five, because I remember I was in kindergarten, I was on spring break, and there it started out with one of the men that was coming to the camp. And I'm not, he was kind of new there. And he, all the kids loved him. So did I. Because he kept quarters in the bottom of his car on the floorboards where we could just go in his car whenever we wanted and pick up some quarters and go get some soda or go to the snack bar. So we all thought, you know, he was this great, kind of like Santa Claus kind of guy. And there was one occasion where I went to his car and he was with me that time. And he said, well, why don't you come in and sit down? And he grabbed a bottle of baby powder and he like sprinkled some on his penis and he asked me to rub it in for him. Oh. And I have a really vivid memory of that. And for some reason, even though I was only five, it's something in my instincts just, I got really uncomfortable and I opened the car door and I ran like crazy. I just ran because I was terrified and I didn't even know why I was really terrified, but I just was. And I didn't tell anyone because like most children, you think that you did something wrong. And so I never said anything, but then it happened to some other girls and somehow somebody found out about it. And then my mother approached me. And she told me I wouldn't be in trouble if, you know, if something happened. So then I told her what happened. And so they kicked him out of the camp. They called the men that would kick these men out of the camp were called the Ponderosa Posse. And they were a group of men that would get rid of these quote perverts that would come in. And over the years, like they were allowing more and more to come in, but a couple of members of that posse were also pedophiles and did things themselves. But now, they just got it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the first part of your story, as terrible as it is, because it is terrible, but that can happen. I mean, it's happened in schools and churches and in scouts and in sports teams. And, you know, as long as people deal with it, that's the best we can hope, because you can't always tell who's who.
Yeah,
the problem you have with the Ponderosa though went well beyond that, right?
Yes, well beyond that. Do you want me to go into?
Yeah, well, that's what it wasn't. That was I'm sure a very upsetting experience that would make you feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But there was more, right? There was more beyond that. In the tone of the place.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I had some more experiences kind of similar to what I just told you. But then just over the years as I matured, you know, started to notice more things. I noticed even just there was a lot of swinging going on, which, again, I know it happens outside of nudist colonies, but it wasn't hidden very well. There was a lot of, like, sexual type talk, you know, in front of us kids where, you know, they would say inappropriate things to each other and just do kind of inappropriate things, especially at the dances that we'd have and stuff. And I'd go to like somebody's trailer to hang out. And then the parents would go to the back room and swing and switch around. And they'd have porn movies running in a living room while I'm in there. So I saw my first porn movie when I was just a little kid. And it was just it was a toxic, just over-sexualized environment.
So it wasn't, naturism is supposed to be about desexualizing nudity and body acceptance and all that.
Right.
That's not the feeling you got?
Absolutely not. No, nope. It was really hard for me because when I went through puberty, people judged bodies and I was kind of a chubby kid, you know, so it was just, I used to get called chubby and kind of made fun of because my body wasn't, you know, some of my friends were thinner and they were developing and they were considered, you know, good looking. And yet I was like the fat one. And yeah, it was pretty well talked about in front of me all the time. And I'd get called chubs and all kind of things like that. And one of my friends that I hung out with, by the time she was 13, she was asked to participate in the shows that they have there. Mm. You know, where you, and I, as much as I hated what those shows were and I didn't want anything to do with it, at the same time, I felt rejection because I didn't want to be in them, but because I wasn't being asked, it's like my body was not good enough.
Now, the shows, are you referring to the weekend that they called Nudes a Poppin'?
Yes, there were two a year back when I was a kid. Now I guess there's three.
Now, for the audience who may not have heard of this before, do you want to describe what those weekends were like?
Yeah, it's basically where, because normally when you go into the camp, the rules are no cameras and things like that. And it's supposedly supposed to be for families only, no single men. But when we had Nudes a Poppin', it was for the general public that just wanted to come to be spectators. And women that didn't even belong to the camp, and men that were models from, you know, Cherry magazine and things like that, would get up on the stage that was all set up around the pool, and they would like dance around and get judged and just do like really sexual things. And men were allowed to take pictures, you know, and take pictures of even women who weren't on the stage that were part of the camp that were just naked, and they'd ask them to pose with them, that kind of thing.
Wow.
And it was just, yeah, it made me really uncomfortable. And generally I wasn't at the camp during the shows. I usually would go stay with my grandmother. But there were a few times where I was there, but I stayed in the trailer. But I could still hear and see a lot of the things that were going on from where our trailer was located. And I did make the mistake once of, I don't remember why I left. I was about 9 or 10, and I left my trailer to go do something, and some man came up to me. And I had clothes on, because during shows, kids were allowed to wear clothes if we came out. And he asked me to lift my shirt for a picture, and I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And boy, I ran right back to my trailer. And it was just, yeah. It was,
so why did, were these big events? Were there a lot of people there?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I mean, they were so, we had a lot of, you know, restroom facilities there already, but when we'd have the shows, they would have to rent, probably at least 50 porta potties to, you know, accommodate the people. It was loaded with people. It would be like a big concert.
So yeah. Thousands of people?
Oh, I would say so. Absolutely. Yep.
So and there was an admission. So, and I've heard people trying to defend these events by saying that it raised a lot of money for the camp, that so it could be more affordable for the folks that were there the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But so would you say that that atmosphere then was limited to those two weekends?
Absolutely. Those two weekends were worse, but the problem was is that it caused it to bleed over into the other times, because it kind of drew negative attention towards the camp and gave people the idea that it was, you know, a place to, you know, swing and party and, you know, that kind of stuff. So we started getting, you know, a lot of stragglers that would come in, you know, after the shows, because they liked it so much, they'd come back and they'd expect that same type of, you know, activity to go on.
And would you say that most people at the Ponderosa were like that, or were into that, or only a few? Were they participants in those weekends?
When I was younger, I feel like there were a few families that I remember that really seemed to be pretty clean, that wanted nothing to do with it. But as the years went on, it just seemed like a large percentage of people were involved in it in some way. They would either like work at the food stands, like they would help, they supported it in one way or another to help out, because to raise money.
And your parents, how were your parents in all this?
My dad later on was regretful, but at the time, they had some of their own personal issues with mental illness and addiction and stuff, so they didn't realize, like, how bad things were as far as children were concerned. They were just kind of ignorant to it at the time, and they were kind of living in the moment for themselves, and they got involved a little bit with the shows, but not that much. Like, they did a mud wrestling thing. Other than that, they really weren't that involved with the shows. And they kind of just, they didn't think it was that big of a deal. They didn't realize the impact, I think, that it would have, having too good of a time themselves. That's the best way I can describe that.
Yeah. Were you the only child in your family?
No, I have a sister that's about a year and a half older than myself.
And how did your sister take all this?
Well, I mean, when we were little, I think she's kind of, you know, she enjoyed it like I did. But as we got into our preteens, I started having issues with it, but she still really liked it. And in fact, she worked at some of the shows. She ran the concessions and she was very comfortable with it. She enjoyed it, actually. And she even later on, as an adult, went back and visited. And she's still okay with all of it. So we're very different.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And so today, I mean, you reached out to me, which I appreciate because I'm glad to hear your story. But you were reaching out to another person who was very much promoting naturism and nudism. Were you not concerned that I would have the same attitude?
No, because when I heard your, you know, when you were discussing the Ponderosa, then I got curious because I know that there is such a thing as true nudism and naturism. I know that that's a real thing. And if it's done properly, it can be a great thing. So I started looking into your facility. You know, I was watching different videos, listening to some of your podcasts. And I thought, wow, I think this is a place that really, you know, they understand what it really is. And I think I felt like it was pure. You know, I think that I feel like your facility is a place where if people want to participate in that, it's a safe place to do so. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of impressed with that. So that's why I decided to reach out.
Oh, thank you. I'm very glad to hear that because I certainly would not be surprised if somebody who went through your experience would tar everyone and not believe that it was possible to have one without the other.
Right. But just like there's other things in life too where, you know, it's not always black and white, you know? And that's how I feel about this too.
So it's been many years since you've been there.
Yep.
How does this still affect you?
I would say that I've been married for 30 years. And even after 30 years, I had 2 children with my husband in the room with me and everything. But there's still, usually, I feel very uncomfortable undressing in front of my husband. And I think a lot of that stems from the camp because it made me look at our bodies and sex as something dirty. Mm. Because that's how that's how I was kind of introduced to nudity. As I got older, it was a lot of, you know, dirty, you know, so it kind of sticks with me. And even though logically I know that it's my husband, there's nothing dirty about this, there's something subconsciously that kicks in and makes me want to just cover up right away. Like I'm ashamed of something. Yeah.
That's too bad. And I'm sorry about that.
I'm working on it. I'm getting better, but it's a process.
Yeah. Well, clearly, you know, the impact of all this has lasted, a long time with you because you were still looking into this and reading about it and finding information. Do you think it's any different today at the Ponderosa?
My concern is I haven't been there to see it myself, but I mean with the way everybody's loosened up on things over the years with morals and values, my fear is that it's worse.
Right.
That, you know, I'm not there to see it, but I'm guessing it. I mean, even they're already doing 3 shows a year instead of 2. So that right there is telling me going to be making things worse, right? So I'm not there to see it, so I can't, you know, be sure of that. But I would say 99% sure it's got to be a lot worse now. It's a breeding ground for, you know, pedophilia and other things, but the pedophilia is a problem because it's innocent children that are not consenting to be at a place like that.
Yeah, and obviously can be very, very affected by the experience as you have been.
Yes.
Are you still, it must have affected your relationship with your family as well.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I'm just I'm a pretty transparent person, so you know, I'm not ashamed that I was at the nudist camp because I didn't make that decision to be there. When you say affected my relationship with my family, I guess only with my husband. because with my kids, it really hasn't. I've shared my story with them, but I don't have an intimate relationship with them. So, you know, the whole, you know, me hiding my body or feeling dirty about having sex obviously doesn't affect me with my children. So I'd say basically it's more affected me in my marriage, just feeling confident enough to, you know, be in my natural self.
But what about with your parents and your sister?
My father passed away in 2014.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'm kind of at peace with that because a few years before he died, he shared with me that he regretted the fact that he let us come to the camp, that he knew that was a mistake. It should have been something that him and my mother did, and that he was sorry. He didn't realize the damage it was doing at that time. You know, and I had shared with him later the damage it did. So he was very apologetic. So I'm okay with that. And then my mother, she's still alive. And we've talked about it a lot too. And she's not as apologetic about it, but that's because she didn't really realize either what all went on, like, and how terrible it was. It's hard to explain. I just talked to her, in fact, before I talked to you. And, you know, I'm real open with her about it. And she's starting to see now that it had some bad effects. She's just now kind of starting to accept that because she really didn't realize it. She said it was okay to tell you. You know, she had a really bad drinking problem. Mm. And so she just didn't, you know, she just wasn't all there and wasn't thinking and just didn't see a lot of this, you know, as severe as it was. So, I mean, my relationship with her, I think it has it now. It's not affecting it because we've talked it out. And, you know, we've been through therapy together and everything like that. So, you know, thank God. It's taken a lot of work, but I've gotten, you know, things pretty much repaired with my parents as much as I can over this.
Oh, it's good. That's very good.
Yeah.
You only have one parent, right? One set of parents.
Yep, that's right. And then my sister, well, we have other things in our lives that make us disagree with each other. So, yeah, I talked to her like 2 years ago, but the last time we talked about the camp was probably 5 years ago or so. And pretty much her attitude is that I'm just oversensitive about these things and just kind of being ridiculous and that it's not a big deal. That's just kind of where she's at with it.
Yeah, except obviously your feelings are real.
Right. And, you know, kids can be in the same environment and we all react differently. You know, so I just had a different reaction than she did.
Right.
And, I mean, and it had, you know, I don't want to disclose, but it had some negative effects on her, too, that she, like, some promiscuity was going on. So it kind of had the opposite effect with her than it did me. It made me more, you know, I was hiding from everybody, you know, and then her, she kind of was out there. So, mm-hmm. And you hear that a lot with siblings where they'll have different reactions to the same environment. So I'm not judging her. It's just we reacted differently to what we went through.
Oh, and that's very common. People who experience exactly the same adversity can be affected by it very differently.
Yes.
It's still the same issue in the background, but mm-hmm. outwardly they go differently. Mm-hmm. You know, some kids who are treated very poorly by their parents, some become very shy and don't believe in themselves, and others decide they have to prove themselves all the time and become workaholics who are always striving for perfection because of that. And that could be the same from the same source. It's,
right, exactly.
Does your mother still go to the park, the camp?
Oh, no. She's quit going in the 80s back when I was 14 because she had divorced my father and she got involved in college and got her PhD and just got busy with life. And so she hasn't been there since the 80s.
And what do you think since you've talked with her, what do you think her feelings about the idea of naturism and nudism are? Do you know?
Yeah, she actually kind of, she feels about it the way I do. Like she's still, I'm not comfortable even going to the best place because of my own issues that I have with being comfortable. She, however, would love to visit a nice place. Hmm. But now she's starting to realize that the Ponderosa was not the best pick you know, to have for something like that. And she would like to go to some, we have some place here in Burlington. I know nothing about it, but she talks about it all the time. Some type of a nudist type resort that she said she'd like to visit if they're the right kind of camp. So she's still very open to attending something like that. But she's got a lot of health problems, so she's, it's not easier for her just to, you know, hop in the car and go. Or she probably already would have, honestly.
Right, right.
She has the potential to be a good naturist.
Yeah.
She does.
I mean, there are places all over the U.S., and the challenge sometimes is knowing what is the culture in each one of those.
Right.
The Ponderosa is actually relatively simple if people are doing their research, because
yes,
it's not recognized by the American Association for Nude Recreation,
mm-hmm,
or the Nature Society.
Right.
And I think any place that has an event like Nudes of Poppin', it kind of says something, doesn't it?
Yes, right there. Right there it says something.
Yeah. I mean, how can you talk about body acceptance and have a show like that, right? Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yes, it makes. Yes, yes, yes.
Do you think it's possible to raise your children in a true naturist nudist environment and that would have a positive impact?
Absolutely. Yep, I believe. Yes, and I say that because when I was younger, before, you know, the bad things really started happening and before I realized what was happening, the interactions I had with my peers, like other kids, you know, we would play on the trampoline, go swimming, do this. It was just like being at school and playing. It was just normal. It wasn't sexualized. It was just how we were, just free and having a good time. And it was just completely innocent. So that's why I know that it's possible.
Yeah. I wonder what would have happened if, you know, the experience when you were 5 in the car with that pervert man,
mm-hmm,
and if when you finally said something and he was kicked out,
mm-hmm,
if that would have been the end of it, because that was, you know, the only terrible experience, and I want to minimize it,
mm-hmm,
but if at that point, if that would have been the end, do you think you would have still been feeling a little concerned, because you kind of lose your innocence once something like that happens?
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly what happened. Yep.
So what would have been the long-term effect if that had been the only thing and then the rest of Ponderosa was as you saw it when you were 3?
If that was the only thing that happened?
Yeah.
I think it still might have tarnished it, but maybe I could have adjusted and like reestablished trust again. But other things continued to happen that nothing was done about. And then there were other guys that got kicked out too. It depended on who was doing it, because some of the members that were like longtime members or they had wives and kids, they didn't have the same rules as single guys. Like they'd get away with it.
Yeah.
And then us kids would, you know, even though my mother told me I wouldn't be in trouble for that first incident, it's still, you feel like you did something wrong. So there were other men at the camp that had wives and kids that also did inappropriate things with me and other girls.
Yeah, I'm just sorry. I'm shaking my head. It bothers me so much. You know, I as the owner of a park where there's lots of families and children,
mm-hmm,
my fear always is that something like that could happen. You can't know what's in somebody's heart,
right,
until they act out.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had anybody do anything here.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I hope they know that if somebody said anything, you know, we'd call the police. We've called the police on people just for, you know, saying or making inappropriate suggestions, or even in one case, we caught somebody trying to take pictures,
mm-hmm,
with a camera, a hidden camera.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that happen. Whether for somebody to actually physically try to do something, that I would hope they wouldn't have the nerve to do that here, because, you know, that's jail time, right?
Right, and see, that's the red flag that I didn't realize as a kid, and as I became an adult, I became kind of angry as I thought about it, because the men that were kicked out for doing things, they were just kicked out. The cops were not called. That's a red flag right there. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
Just them kicking somebody out because they sexually abused somebody. oh, you're, that's not punishment. And that's what, that angers me the most, I think, out of anything. When I think about all the different men that were just kicked out because they touched somebody inappropriately or, you know, and I think, I look back on it now and I realize the reason I have to say this, that they didn't, is because they didn't want to expose, you know, what was going on there. If they would have called the cop for, you know, some, the first guy that did that to me, you know, the cops are going to kind of know, hey, there's some stuff going on over there. And they kept it a secret, which I think is terrible because it's illegal to touch a child, you know, try to take pictures, things like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yep. And the older I get, the more I just think about that stuff, and I realize how crooked that is. I mean, if my neighbor inappropriately touched my daughter, I'd have the cops here in 2 seconds. You know, wouldn't even be a second thought. Like most of us, I think that's how we would react. So, yeah.
Yeah. So if you had advice for parents who are interested in naturism, mm-hmm. or nudism, what would you say to them?
To be diligent, you know, just be observant of where their kids are. You know, let's say they're new to a facility like that. Don't just let your kids go play with some other kids at, you know, somebody else's, you know, campsite. Treat it like you would if you took your child to a big city. You're not going to just let them run away and go do whatever they want. You know, like, be diligent. Like, just until you get to know people, you know, in that facility and get to trust them and know, you know, stay with your kids. Don't, you know, just let them do whatever they want and run off, because terrible things happen, or they can, you know. And then, you know, if it's a nice facility and over time they're going to say, hey, this is okay, and then the trust will be built and eventually they can do that. But I would just say, even when you're not in a nudist colony, even you're in a new neighborhood, it's the same thing. You're not going to just let your children go to the neighbor's house because you don't know who they are or what they do. So I'd say almost the same rules as in normal society, air quotes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Ponderosa, still Ponderosa Sun Club, I should say, there's actually a Ponderosa nature resort near me here, and it's not at all the same. And that's, so I want to make that clear.
Yes.
It's a very nice place. The Ponderosa Sun Club in Roselawn, Indiana, still on their website says clothing optional family campground.
And that's changed, because when I was there, you had to be nude.
Oh, okay.
I would get in trouble for trying to wear clothes.
Right.
So they changed that. So see, that concerns me too, because things were already bad then. And now that they're making it clothing optional, that's making it more a thing for spectators.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
It's interesting you would say that, because as you said, you were getting in trouble for not being nude, but you now see that that's still important.
Right. Yep. And I think, I mean, when kids are going through puberty and things, I think that, I'm guessing even we're the facility you run, you might make some exceptions for, you know, girls that maybe are uncomfortable at, you know, as their bodies are changing, maybe they want to put a little something on because they're feeling a little bit, you know, because I know for me, when my body was changing, I'd get in trouble for wanting to wear clothes, and it was just terrible because I just, you know, was trying to adjust to my own body, and I'd get in trouble for it, you know, like, get your clothes off, you cannot, you know. And it was just, you know, I don't know, though, maybe if I was in a facility that was ran more pure, I wouldn't have felt that way too. You know?
Yeah, well, we it is important, the equality in our club, it's important for everyone to be at that same level.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't yell at anybody. We certainly don't talk to children directly.
Mm-hmm.
We talk to parents, and we try. It's more of a trying to work it out.
Yes.
Because we found that the teenagers are all very comfortable if they're all on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
But if some are dressed, then it makes it really, really awkward for the other ones.
True. Yes.
And, you know, there are occasionally some that have difficulty, and on their campsite, they can keep their clothes on, and then that's fine.
Okay.
There's actually a podcast we did a few episodes ago where a young woman talks about that, how she spent maybe a couple summers not leaving her campsite. Mm-hmm. And she still agrees that that was the right thing to do, mm-hmm. even though at the time that was the choice she was making.
Right.
So it is difficult because it's not just what's happening in the club. It's the effect of their friends mm-hmm. and the media and school mm-hmm. and everything that you're doing, social media, right? And so you're always fighting the pressure from the outside world to make them ashamed and uncomfortable with their bodies yes. and trying to say, but here it's different. And here you have, you know, you have to recognize the differences between the two places. And it's not...
Yeah, and I think that would have made a difference. I'm guessing that if I were in a nicer facility, maybe I wouldn't have been so, you know, inhibited, you know, and wanting to cover up so much. But because I saw everything as dirty, and then as my body was developing, I kind of felt shame because of what I was seeing. So, yeah, I mean, maybe I wouldn't have been... You know, maybe I would have been fine just staying nude the whole time if I were in a healthier environment.
Right. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see that. And like I said, I know that just because I remember when I was with just my peers and having a great time, it was just all so natural and innocent that just like, so what? We don't have clothes on. So what? You know? So I know that's possible.
Yeah.
And it's natural. It's just that unfortunately over at the Ponderosa, you know, just got exploited.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, that's how it's a tough one though. Like, you know, and I said, it's because of I could not, even the nicest naturist resort there is, I'm just, because of my own issues, I don't feel ready for something like that. But I don't think that other people that participate in that are doing anything wrong at all. It's just a hang up that I have, something that, you know.
Yeah. And from the sound of it, a well-founded hang-up, like it's
yes,
you shouldn't have it, but there's a good reason for it, and I can understand how difficult it would be for you to get over that. I'm still actually amazed that you're willing to consider that it's possible to have a place that would be good. So good for you for recognizing that.
Done a lot. I've been in therapy since I've been 17, so I've been a work in progress for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I mean, I guess the positives come, you know, when you different things you go through in your life, as bad as they are, I guess the only good thing that's come out of that, one of them is like I'm more open-minded and compassionate towards people because of some of the things I went through. So I guess I get something out of it.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. I guess there's a silver lining on every cloud, right?
Exactly. Like, I just tend to be very transparent with people. And, you know, when I tell people about my experience at Ponderosa, their mouths just hang open and they just can't believe it. And I almost kind of get a kick out of it for some reason. Like, well, I'm glad I made somebody smile, you know, and yeah. I just try to look at, you know, because I'll give them visuals of, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm a little bit of a comedian. I'll just tell them, picture it. There's tennis courts. And, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you know, we wore the headbands and the wristbands, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, well, at the nudist camp, when we played tennis, they'd only wear the headbands and the wristbands. I said, and then I get them laughing. Yeah. But I'm just one of these people, I think humor sometimes is therapeutic, so... And I'm not ashamed of my experience that I had there because I didn't cause it. It was just something I, you know, got dropped into, and that's what happened. And so I have no problem or trouble talking about it with anyone.
So the Ponderosa Sun Club, not to be confused with the Ponderosa Nature Resort near Toronto, which is a... not at all a problem. The Ponderosa Sun Club hosts, as you heard, nudes a pop in and still do. They haven't for the last few years because of the pandemic. And it clearly is not nudist at all. They don't use the term, to be fair. They're not recognized by ANR or TNS or any naturist organization or nudist organization, as far as I know.
when you search Nudes of Poppin, which is clearly happening at the Ponderosa Sun Club, because you can see it, there's signs sometimes in the background, and they don't hide it. I'm not saying that they're keeping it a secret. There are plenty of porn videos that are happening there in the open, very exploitive. It's not nudist in any way, shape, or form. And in the past, they've always said it was just one weekend and they made a lot of money. But they've also announced in March 2022 that they went 18 plus, so adult plus. So they're clearly, there's clearly atmosphere there that is not a nudist in a traditional definition, certainly. And the fact that they were having it one weekend, even if it was only one weekend, I still think doesn't work. As I said in my previous episode on exploitation, if I had a vegetarian restaurant and I decided to have Rib Fest one weekend a year in order to, you know, make some money to help the vegetarian restaurant survive, nobody would respect me as a vegetarian or as a vegetarian restaurant. People would just be absolutely incensed because doesn't make sense. The two don't connect. And Nudes of Poppin clearly is not, and historically has never been, consistent with nudist or naturist values. So it is an issue, and I can see how that might cause problems and it might track people, and that might result in the experience that you heard from Rebecca. So it's really unfortunate and it's sad, but I will give them the credit at least for not trying to pretend to be a nudist club by not using the term. Well, that'll be all for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. Thank you for listening. Again, my name is Stéphane Deschaine. I'm your host for this podcast and the owner of Bear Oaks Family Nature Spark. I make the show with the help of Samantha Graham, who makes this task so much easier by producing the show and doing all the editing and organizing and social media work. So please support her on Patreon. Support us, but mostly support her. Patreon.com/naturistlivingshow. One word. The money's not for me. That's why I say support Samantha, support her, so she can keep supporting the show. You can also find links to all the items I mentioned in the show, in the show notes on the website at naturistlivingshow.com, although I don't think there will be that many for this episode. Please keep sending your comments and suggestions as well. I appreciate getting them, and the show's email address is contact@naturistlivingshow.com. And you can, of course, find us also on social media. Not on Twitter, unfortunately, at this point. Our Twitter account, as those who follow us on Twitter, was unceremoniously canceled. I'm not sure. We still don't know why. We've appealed it, but it's been months and we haven't heard back. You can also call and leave a comment. And if you have a great comment, we will include your comment at in the show like we did this time. You can call. The phone number is country code 1-905-473-6060, extension 333. And that will take you to the Naturist Living Show voicemail. And you can take as many tries as you want or even delete it if you're not happy at the end. I hope you enjoy the show and that you'll join us again for the next episode of the Naturist Living Show.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. Traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bearoaks.ca.
the strange part about, you know, pictures is it context and is everything, right? Like if I have lots of pictures around me actually of my children running around without any clothes on, like on my right here, there's my youngest son fishing with nothing on and just a fishing pole, but it's cute and he's adorable. It's all, you know, I always explain, I said, a picture of my bare foot in a magazine, podiatry magazine, is clinical. And the same exact picture in a foot fetish magazine is pornography.